doing? Are we still recovering from the fair? Yeah, I am. Holy cow, my kids are just at that right age that the fair is like the greatest time of the year. I am getting just old enough when it's a little bit much. One quick announcement before I came up. Celine Friesen just grabbed me. I know we got a lot of friends visiting from Canada. She just wanted to remind me that we started a support group here, PCTCF, People Close to Corey Friesen. We pray a lot. And so if you just wanted to let us know, we'll add you to that list. It's an important ministry here. I couldn't resist, Corey. I'm sorry. I'm out of the group. All right. Oh, it's absolute mayhem when I'm in charge. Okay, my name is Peter. If you don't know, I'm one of the pastors at Harvest. And I think this is a good week to be here. We're finishing up our series on freedom. And when I think of freedom, I think of it as sort of the cornerstone or a foundation of Christianity. Right? I mean, this is really what this is all about. I may remember a couple of weeks ago, how we talked about that only in Christianity is there true forgiveness that leads to true freedom. Right? Every other religion, there's no true forgiveness. It just covers it up. Cover, cover, cover. How do you experience any freedom if everything you've ever done is still there, it's just covered up? It's hard to live that way. I can still hear music. Am I hearing things, or is it... it's my phone. Who knows? I don't know. Can you guys hear that? There's nothing on. It's still playing music. It's a really good song. All right. I'm sorry. So the background... We are getting out of control here, people. All right. The backdrop for this series, remember, is Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Man, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ came. I know we talk about this every week, but we're in church. You gotta be expecting it, right? Jesus came and he died for our sins. He didn't just die. Remember, he was handed over by the very people who he came to love. They handed him over and he was beaten and abused. He was spit on, and they came up with the most heinous ways of torture to kill him. He died died through crucifixion on the cross, and people will tell you that is the most painful, most brutal, most excruciating form of capital punishment man has ever come up with. That is what Jesus came to, and he did it for us. He did it for you and for me. He did it so we can be forgiven, which leads to freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So you tell me, when we're talking about this topic of freedom, is this an important one to God? Look at what he sent his son through so that we could experience true freedom. If we're honest, though, the truth is most us don't live out that true, all-encompassing, life-transforming freedom that God offers. We live out just these little little pockets of freedom, but it doesn't really define our lives. More often than not, we live with these burdens and yokes on us. And we wouldn't dare live like we were completely free, right? I mean, that'd almost be scandalous. It might even feel sinful to live as if we are truly free. Well, I think that's exactly how God wants us to live. Let's pray, and we'll get into the scripture a little more this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness and the freedom that you offer. We thank you that you sent your Son to die for me, for each one of us as individuals, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the truth of the freedom that you offer just sinks deep into our hearts, Lord, and it would transform our lives, that we could live totally free for you. Pray, Lord, you would just come and fill this place this morning, touching our hearts and drawing us closer to each other as we're drawn closer to you, Father. Again, move me out of the way, and would you just speak powerfully to us from your word and your truth this morning. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the scripture reading this morning is out of Romans 6. It starts in verse 16. It says, "Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master?" Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Do you guys believe that? That's sort of a broad statement. Do you believe that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? I do. And I'll tell you why. There are two reasons. One, because God's word says it, right? And God's word is always true. Let God be true and every man a liar, right? And second, and I think this is easier sometimes to see, is because we can see it lived out in our world over and over and over and over. Whatever you choose to obey is your master. All right, can you put up the picture? Does anybody know who this poor fool is? David Duchovny. He is most famous for playing Fox Mulder on The X-Files. I was never a big X-Files buff, but I at least know who David Duchovny is. Poor David Duchovny. He's sort of an idiot, I'm afraid. It's maybe not his fault, but work with me here. So, David Duchovny gave an interview in 2008 to a magazine called Best Life. I've never heard of that or read of that, but he was talking about, listen to his quote. You can't control your mind. Why would you want? You can't be guilty about being alive, about being a man. This poor guy. What does the Bible say? In Romans 12, it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Dave Duchovny, he said, "You can't control your mind. Why would you even want to? Just let your mind go and follow what it's doing." Man, David Duchovny, he doesn't know we have an enemy who is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We have an enemy who is called the Prince of Lies, who is the accuser of the saints. He is whispering lies over and over and over and over. He is making us listen. Well, he's not making us, but he's whispering, and he's relentlessly whispering lies. Our only defense is to take those thoughts captive and to suffocate those lies out with the truth of God. Right? We need to be memorizing God's word and God's truth so that when those lies come, we say, boy, that's a stupid lie. Look at the truth of God. You don't think God loves me? That's ridiculous. Read God's Bible. So David Duchovny decided that he's going to obey his mind. And whatever fleeting thoughts or ideas popped into his head, those were just fine. What could go wrong, right? In 2008, David Duchovny checked himself into a rehab facility for treatment for a sex addiction. This eventually ended his 17-year marriage to Teo Leone. He had to check himself into rehab because he finally realized he was a slave to his sexual addiction and he needed help. It took him a long time, but he finally realized whatever he chose to obey becomes his master. And you heard him. Why would you want to not obey whatever your thought is? Because you became a slave and you didn't even realize it. He learned at great personal cost that we are a slave to whatever we choose to obey. Now here's where I have a little bit of sympathy for poor Mr. Duchovny. A little bit. He's really no different than all of us, right? He's really no different than all of us. We are all a slave to what we choose to obey. And if you grow up in a sinful world like we do, and we have, and if we're raised in a deteriorating society like we are, I mean, look at the world around us. We're about to have a nuclear Iran. The point is, we haven't really had a choice. Before giving our lives to God, we don't really have a choice. Many of us were raised to believe that believing in God is foolish somehow. Even many people who profess Christ don't really grasp the truth of God and His Word. They don't really grasp the life-transforming power of the Word and how the enemy is attacking it day after day after day after day. Yeah, again, even people who say they're Christians don't really grasp the life-transforming, eternity-changing good news of Jesus Christ. And if we're a slave to what we choose to obey, what chance do we have to live out the kind of freedom we've talked about these last several weeks if we weren't even given the choice to obey God because of the world we live in? Sort of the sobering truth of our world, isn't it? That we are a slave to something. And most of the world around us has no chance because they've never been given the opportunity to really adopt God's truth. Again, the verse is, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin and have become slaves to righteous living. My life changed dramatically when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. It changed dramatically. I was in college. I was planning on going to law school. I had my whole life planned out, right? I was going to get married young. I was going to become a lawyer. I was going to make lots of money. That was key to my plan. I was going to make lots of money, right? I was going to have one, maybe two kids. I had this all worked out. I'm not a lawyer. I don't sleep in a pile of money. I have five children. My life is so much richer and so much fuller than what I had planned out. And I am so thankful. The person who I was before Christ, there really isn't even any remnant left in me of that man. I thank God regularly that my wife did not meet me before I met Christ. I would have wrecked that. Thankfully, she met me after. And like I said, I am a different man. You know whose life changed even more than mine? Well, changed a lot. Paul. You know, the guy that God used to write most of the New Testament. He was so different. God changed his name. He was known as Saul before, and then Paul after, because his life changed so dramatically. He was unrecognizable. Before Christ, Paul, listen to this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the one who wrote most of the New Testament, before Christ, he was a wicked, wicked man. Mark Darling is one of the pastors in our movements. He has described Paul as a terrorist of the early church. And he absolutely was. His goal, he was going into towns and he was trying to drag people out. Men, women, he didn't care. He was going to drag them out of their homes, throw them outside of town, and then incite the crowd to stone them to death if you believed in Jesus Christ. Now let's read in Acts 9. What happens to Paul? So listen to this. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Think about that. This is the man who wrote most of the New Testament, right? Breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, those Christians were originally called followers of the way, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So they were called followers of the way. So he says, if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I love Saul's response. Who are you, Lord? Saul said. Remember, Saul has been raised. He has been raised in the Jewish faith, trained by the best of the best. He was a disciple of Gamaliel, who was a high priest. And of all of the high priests, we know most about Gamaliel because there's so much outside literature on him because he was so highly regarded. And Paul was his disciple. Paul was the number one below the number one, right, in the Jewish faith. Of anybody on earth, in the Jewish faith, they said, if you're gonna be able to recognize God's voice, Paul should have been able to do it. And God blinds him and is grabbing his heart, and he calls out to him, and Paul does not recognize his voice. And he's got to ask him, who are you? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. All right, share this really to make one point, right? Before God, before Christ changes our hearts and we give ourselves to him, we are all wicked. Before that conversion, we are all wicked. Paul, again, raised in the Jewish faith, surpassed his peers. Before God touched his life, he was wicked. Paul, who God used to write most of the New Testament, who has written, take one of the letters that God wrote through Paul, and it's amazing. You put them all together, it's unbelievable what God was able to accomplish with this man. Before God, he was wicked. Told you the man I was before God is unrecognizable to the man I am now. The man Paul was before God is night and day from the man who was so filled with grace that he brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. After we accept God's free gift of forgiveness, right? After we're made right with him, after we believe and receive, we are set free for the first time to be free from sin. Do you get that? After we accept Jesus Christ, we finally are free for the first time to be free from sin. Before then, we are slaves to whatever we obey, and we don't have any reference point of God in what will really make us free. So we are finally free to live rewarding lives, not burdened by unforgiven sin or the yuck of this world. Remember in John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus is speaking, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Man, do you hear the heart of God for each one of us? I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. That's what God wants for each one of us. But we can't live lives to the full if we're slaves to sin. Remember, God offers this amazing freedom. And if you were here a few weeks ago, you remember we talked about this freedom is so incredible. It's hard to sort of wrap our heads around. God, he likens it to the year of Jubilee. And we won't get into all of it, but the year of Jubilee, every 49 years, so basically every 50 years, the nation of Israel lived in this year of Jubilee where all debts were forgiven, right? If you had sold land, the land was returned to you. So you got it back. If you had gone into so much debt that you had to sell yourself into slavery, you were freed, you were let go. Everything was forgiven. It is so sort of, you almost can't fathom it, right? Like, I bought this chair, and we've now used this chair for 25 years, and it's now a family heirloom, right? Oh, year of Jubilee, that's got to go back. Everything is forgiven. Everything is wiped free. Completely, it is. It's hard to fathom and almost impossible to live out apart from God. That's the freedom that God is saying he is offering each of us in our lives. Every day of our lives we are to live as if it is the year of Jubilee and nobody has anything against us because God has wiped it clean. That's what God offers. I just want to make one more point, and then we'll let the worship team come up. All right, so God offers this amazing freedom. And now we all have a choice to make with it, right? What do we do with that? How do we live this out? What happens next? Will we stand firm in the freedom that God offers? Or will we return to being slaves to sin? Remember the backdrop verse for this message is Galatians 5:1, right? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We could camp out on that all day and be just fine. What are the very next words? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Isn't that an interesting mix, right? We start with, it is freedom. It is this unbelievable freedom that's yours. And the very next words are, listen, but you got to be careful because it's so easy to let that go. It is so easy to let that go because what do we know? We are slaves to whatever it is we obey. And it is so easy, like David Duchovny, to start to obey something else. And we lose that freedom. And without even realizing it, all of a sudden we are burdened by some unnecessary yoke or burden or sin. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Let me scare us into freedom a little bit. In Luke 11, says this, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Sometimes we live in this freedom and it's fantastic and we live it like crazy. And we go off guard a little bit, right? We're not reading our Bible daily. We're not praying. We're not meeting together with other believers. And pretty soon we start to slip and we start to become slaves to something else because we're obeying something other than God's word. And I think God is warning us, listen, you have gotten your house clean and well swept. It's in order. It's an attractive place for the enemy to go. It's just a caution, right? We want to live that freedom out. But we need to stand firm. And we need to live like we are forgiven because we are. We are. It is the truth of God's word. Man, we need to live like we are free because we are. By the grace of God. We need to let those truths wash over us and change us like Paul was changed, that our lives and our eternities are changed forever. You guys remember when David had these great victories and he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant. It's the very place where God's Spirit lived on earth, right? And David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into town, and there is this celebration. We finally have God back among us. And David danced out of pure joy and celebration, and his wife foolishly rebuked him and said, you know, how glorious the king looked today dancing so foolishly. And David's response to her is fantastic. He said, I will be even more undignified than this for my God. Man, God is offering us this freedom. Can we live like David? Can we dance like David and say, I will be even more undignified than this for my God. I will live even more like I'm free for my God. I'm sorry. Let's pray, and worship team can come up. I just encourage you guys. This is the last week of the Freedom Series, but I would encourage you just to continue to pray and to meditate on the freedom that God offers through His forgiveness. I am serious. I think we could spend our lifetime praying and meditating and studying the freedom that God offers. And it would reap rewards for us our entire life. Let me pray and the worship team can come up. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, even when we are not faithful. We thank you for your love. And tell us that while we were still sinners, while we were far from you, while we were mocking you, Father, you loved us. And you sent your Son to die for each one of us, making us right with you, Father, and give us this unimaginable, unquantifiable freedom. Pray, Lord, that truth just seeps into our heart deeper and deeper and deeper each day. Pray your hand would be on each one of us as we go, Lord, drawing us ever closer to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.